that across the board.
For me,
I won't say across the board.
And I think we need to get back to the basics.
Amongst friends. Conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, everyone, and welcome to another exciting and fresh episode of Amongst Friends, where the conversation is definitely for the grown and sexy. Tonight, all of our wonderful Amongst Friends listeners, we will be talking about, does God do the choosing? And also just kind of to segue into not just dating and relationships and engagement, but also into the marriage, where we have people that might say, I said God chose my spouse, but I'm curious to find out why my marriage failed. So that's what we're going to be talking about. Does God do the choosing? Does he choose our spouse for us? Does he choose who we date? Does he choose who we get engaged to? And ultimately, does he choose who we marry? So we want y'all to chime in tonight. We want your comments. We want you on Facebook, on the chat. We want you on the chat at www.blogtalkradio.com/amongstfriends. We want you on the line, 760-683-2662. Again, that's 760-683-2662. Please don't be afraid to dial the number. Press 1 so that you can get on the line with your Amongst Friends crew. And speaking of the crew, tonight you got the fabulous, wonderful, amazing Joey. Hey, that's me. You got my man, my brother from another mother, my dog, Mr. Jeff.
What up? What
say what's up to the people.
What's going
and
on?
Hopefully our two lovely co-hosts of the feminine kind will be calling us soon, our Deidre and our Heather. But if not, we got this, right, Jeff?
Oh, yeah, we got it.
So tonight we're talking about, does God do the choosing? And you know what? I have to say, Jeff, man, to, you know, just these last couple of weeks, after just finally kind of reaching the point that I've always dreamed of, and that's tying the knot or what, getting the old ball and chain or any other kind of saying you can put to it, you know, after these last couple of weeks, I definitely have to say that I'm not hard-pressed or hard-set on whether or not God chose for me or God made my wife for me or whatever. All I can say is that I think the best perspective that I can give tonight, and that I hope that, you know, everybody be able to convey tonight, is that for me, whether he chose her, whether he made her, or, you know, regardless of what the situation is, I know he blessed me. And that, for that, I can be thankful. And so if nothing else you guys get out tonight, if you are in love, if you're married, if you're in a dating relationship, and you have someone that treats you right, that does right by you, whether you believe God chose them or made them for you, just give God thanks for blessing you with them, regardless of how they got to you, if that makes any sense. So, but I think for me, I definitely believe that a lot of people are just absolutely 100% obsessed with being with someone. And I believe the obsession gets so crazy that most people begin to kind of put everything or the lack of success thereof on God not hearing their prayers or listening to what they desire or what they want. And so it comes to this point where I believe that people just become disenchanted with the whole dating, relationship, marriage scene, that they kind of in my opinion, they kind of give up on it and they say, I'm going to wait on God to choose my mate for me. And honestly, just to throw it out here to get the conversation started, I really just don't think that that is as important to God as important to him as you treating people right, so to speak, or doing right by others. I just don't think that that God in all his amazing time is just sitting up there like, oh, yeah, I got to make sure that I choose this person for Joey or Jeff or Heather or Deidre or the people that are listening on the phone tonight. I just honestly think that there are other things that he's more concerned with us having. And, again, like I say, I think just when people get unhappy with navigating the relationship and the love and all of that other stuff that comes with it, that they just kind of give up on it and they say, I'm going to wait on God to choose for me. That's just a starting point, I guess. What you think, Jeff?
I'm going to go ahead and say it. I feel that to some degree it's a cop-out. I feel it's a cop-out because you are trying to take yourself out of the everybody equation. Everybody has to go through weeding out a potential mate, and you're trying to take yourself out of it, or you're trying to put yourself in a light to where, you know, someone with the same mindset can basically pay attention to you being alone long enough for them to come and talk to you.
I don't understand it.
Hey, Deidre.
Okay, so I'm going to need you, hey, everybody, I'm going to need you to kind of break that down just a little bit more because that didn't make sense.
Okay, so along the lines of what Joy was saying, people are getting themselves sort of okay with their walk with God, and they say, okay, so I'm going to take myself out of these situations. I'm cutting myself out of the club. I'm cutting myself out of, you know, doing certain things to make myself look desirable or what have you when I go out different places. Meaning I'm not going to get dressed to the nines all the time, or I'm just going to, you know, quote unquote, I'm just going to be me. I'm going to be real. And then, you know, whatever happens, happens. So you do these type of cutoff things, and then basically, if you are in the situation in which, I say it in the church, because that's when this situation comes up, these people are in the church, and they sit there in the same seat in the pew, and they sit there for so long that everybody who's in the church, the like-minded folk, start coming around, you know, asking you what's going on here, what's going on there, and then you potentially end up with somebody. And then you feel that that's God finding somebody for you or sending somebody your way.
Okay. I can agree with a portion of that. I agree that, you know, you do have to put yourself in positions to make yourself available or to show interest or what have you. So I believe that there's a cop-out, partially.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is where my opinion on this whole has God chosen my mate for me, this is where Deidre totally differs from the rest of the cast. Because I do believe that God does choose a mate for you, period. It's the and and how it goes is if we are as believers, I can't speak for anybody who's not a believer, but as believers, we decide that we are accepting God's will over our will, and it is something that we have to do every day. And so if I am strengthening my relationship with Christ and I am saying, God, I want to see what you see, I want to hear what you hear, I want you to direct my path so that I know what I'm doing in my relationships, he's going to speak to you and give you clearance. Like, this is a, you know, this is a good, this is what you might need to go for, and this is what you might need to go for. Hence the red flags that we sometimes see, but, you know, because we are lonely or whatever, we decide to do our own thing. In situations where, let's just use Deidre. I'm not big on short guys at all.
Lord
but
Jesus.
But it could be that the Lord has a 4'2" man out there who is going to give me everything that I need to benefit the kingdom. But in doing that, I have to say no to what Deidre wants and say yes to what he wants, because God doesn't necessarily care about the outward appearance of man. He cares about the heart, right? So that's my stance. I believe that he does. And then there's the whole argument of, you know, I can't believe that, hey, I'm supposed to be a widow or whatever. What if my husband or my wife dies, you know, am I supposed to be blah, blah, blah? But the Bible says that we're supposed to take care of widows. So that would indicate to me that you are supposed to be alone if you've allowed God to choose the mate for you.
Okay, say that again. I was with you up until that point, Dee.
Well, I'm saying the Bible talks about how the church is supposed to take care of widows and orphans. Am I wrong?
Right. No, you're
okay,
not wrong. I was with you. I'm with you there.
And so what I'm saying is if you've said, God, you know, whatever it is, I'm choosing what you have for me. And that person dies for whatever reason, I honestly believe that there is no other person for you.
That's
and
not true. That's not true.
That's what I was going to say. Hey, Heather. Hey.
The Bible also says the poor will be with you always. Do that mean the saints going to be poor forever?
Some of them.
No, that means when your husband dies or when your wife dies, you're a widow. That don't mean that you got to stay a widow. It means care for her or him until they get their strength back and get back out there on the prowl and get them somebody else.
Okay, well, that's where we disagree.
But you know what? But Deidre, definitely not to go into a Bible kind of thing. The only part of that, I definitely agree with you that we are supposed to take care of, as Christians, we have a responsibility to take care of the widows and the orphans. But the part that I don't agree with is that they have to choose to remain unmarried, because the Bible also talks about how, you know, if they cannot refrain from that desire, that they are free to marry. So it talks about, you know, them being able to, widows being able to remarry if they can't deal with not being married anymore. So that part that they have to choose to remain unmarried is what I don't agree with in just that part of the statement. As far as what we're talking about tonight, does God choose our mate? I think, and we've talked about this in person because y'all amongst friends. We are. This is not just a radio show. We really actually do sit amongst each other and talk about these things. And so Deidre and I and Heather have also talked about, does God, you know, does God choose your mate? And we do differ in this, in that I don't believe that he actually says, okay, here's A, and I'm going to give you B. And I just don't see it as that cut and dry. I do believe that there is free will because God gave us free will. I believe that he gives us free will to make our own decisions. He definitely gives us guidelines on what is expected of us through his will, what is expected of us in his guidelines for holiness and righteousness and how to live this life. But I don't believe that his will is, okay, I need you to choose this person and this person only. This is the only person that you can marry who's going to make you happy, and that's it, point blank, period. And if you choose anyone else outside of my will, you will be, you know, this is the end for you, or you'll be unhappy or what have you. I just don't believe that. One, again, like I said earlier in the show, I don't believe that God just has, that he is just so caught up in who we marry. Am I saying he has nothing to do with it? No. I do definitely believe God has something to do, wants to be a part of all of our lives in every aspect of our life, but it's more so in us inviting him in it, whether him enforcing himself in it. And I think that is even a better point when it comes to choosing your mate. God gives us set guidelines. Anything God wants us to know, he has already said it. Anything he wants us to, how to live, you know, everything pertaining to life and godliness, he has already given to us. That's what his word says. So I don't think, here again, there's nothing new in what God wants for us. And so I believe truly that when it comes to choosing your mate, that we do the choosing. We do the choosing, but we should do it with asking him, okay, should I do this? Should I move this direction? Is this for me? Is this where I need to go? Rather than, okay, God, pick my person, and when I open my eyes, boom, she's going to be there. I just don't think it works that way. Can it work that way? If that's the kind of relationship you have with God, certainly. But just as an overall general template, I don't think God chooses for us.
Absolutely not. I mean, I think in anything, you know, God always gives us an opportunity to exercise our rights of freedom and choice. And I think it has been the mistake of the church, and we as humans with error, to strap God in a box and to take away. It's sort of like we all say, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Okay, then be free. God didn't set you free to be bound by the law of the church, to be bound by the law of a person, to be bound by his law. He set you free to live and to make a choice, to make a determination, to make a decision. That's why we get to elect salvation. That's why we get to choose him. Him being God and being all-powerful, he could have stopped death from the cross. He can make everybody worship him. He can make us all do it. He can make everybody turn away from whatever they're doing and do it. He doesn't. He gives us the right to choose. So I don't know why, if God lets you choose him, he lets you choose salvation. He even lets you choose sin if that's what you want to do, and gives you a pardon for sin, grace. But then he's going to go out and pick the husband or wife for you, or he's going to go out and pick the car for you.
Absolutely.
And I'm saying, if we're talking about...
Absolutely, he's going to do the same thing. Just like you've been saying all night, or here just now, he gives you the choice. to make the decision. Or are you going to accept the mate that I have for you? Or are you going to accept the mate?
No. God does not have a mate for you. God does not have a mate for you.
He does.
No, he doesn't. Because if he had a mate for you, he's been holding on to your mate all this time. He's been holding your mate hostage from you all this time. No.
And you know why? Because through all of this, I have been making decisions on my own. I have been saying, I'm mourning, so I'm going to go and I'm going to have sex with this dude, and I'm going to occupy this
time. That's not what I'm saying. That is exactly my point.
My point is that I have the will, free will, to make a decision on whether or not I'm going to sit and say, okay, God, where is my mate? What's up?
Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to me very clearly. That's what you're saying. What about the person who's walking upright, following the will of God, mm-hmm. and hearing from the Lord, and they still don't have their mate? And they're not making a choice. They're not dating anybody. They're not being horny. They're not doing anything. They're in the scripture. They're in the world.
Right.
Not sit out in the vineyard and say, Paul, you are Deidre's husband. Paul, you are Heather's husband. Now, Heather, sit still, and Paul is going to find you out of a million people. No, God has created all of us good and perfectly, and he's presented each one of us. We have the opportunity to meet and interact with each and every one of us, and we get to choose, do I want to spend, share life with this person? We get to make a choice. That's why we honor it with the commitment of marriage to say, regardless, for better or for worse, for rich or poor, sickness and health, whatever you're going through or whatever you're not going through, I'm saying I'm going to stick it out with you. That's the whole point in the vow. That's the whole point in the commitment. I'm going to stick it out with you no matter what. So that was the case. I ain't got to make that kind of vow or commitment because we stuck.
Yep.
And I don't have no opportunity to do nothing with somebody else.
You're making
and trust me, God ain't got somebody for you, and you done just been that bad and evil that he, and you've been doing it your own way, that he ain't letting that person release to you. If that's the case, he can stop you for all the stuff that I done. He can stop a whole lot of stuff from happening. Why would he just hold on to a mate and not hold on to the house, not hold on to the car, not hold on to the job? It don't make sense.
Okay.
I disagree. How about that?
And you know what? And that's the beauty of amongst friends is that we
are
all.
That's the beauty of God. You get to disagree. You get to choose that.
And I am a firm believer, and I am agreeing on the fact that you have a choice to choose His will or your will every day.
No,
every decision that you make, you have a choice. You have a choice.
His will. What is His will?
But you know, that's what I'm saying. I don't think that it is outside of His will if you decide, Deidre. I don't think that is outside of His will if you decide to choose someone who is not the person that we have made in our minds to believe was made for us by God. And here's why I'm saying this, because how do you know that this you can't base it on everything worked out perfectly, everything matched up, lined up exactly how I envisioned it. I prayed about it. I prayed for A, B, C, and D, and all, God is answering all of. He got all my A's and B's, and He exceeded even D and E. That does not confirm that this person, because they're everything that I prayed for, is who God made for me. And so my thing is that because I didn't choose the ideal person that was made for me, that I'm outside of God's will. Here's my thing. If you are operating in God's will, and this is what I truly believe God's will is for one, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, hands down, you are in God's will. If you accept his son as personal Lord and Savior who died on the cross for your sins, that's the very first step to even being in relationship, to even having access to God, is to have a relationship with his son Jesus Christ. So if you have that first point, the most important point of all, you are in God's will. You are in the will of the Father because you have a relationship with his son. The second thing I believe is if you are loving people, you loving God first with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and you love people as you would love yourself, then you are in God's will. And when all of those things line up, God is not sitting up here saying, okay, now all I need you to do is choose the mate that I made for you, and then you have completely fulfilled my will. That's the part where I'm saying no. It doesn't. That part does not line up for me. If I have a relationship with Christ, if I'm loving people as God has commanded, if I'm loving God first as He has commanded, then like Heather said, no good thing is He's going to withhold from me. And the good thing may be, wow, I have a plethora of people to choose from. And out of the people that I choose that are in his will, that is in his design, then if I choose one out of the 100, I'm still in his will. Because, and the proof of that is that I've never seen anywhere in the Bible where it said that, okay, I made this person or I chose this person for you. And a lot of people say, well, the example of the prophet Hosea having to marry the prostitute. But it was also an alliteration, too. This is the thing. God told him he had to marry the prostitute, but one, he could have chose otherwise. And in that instance, he would have been outside of God's will because this had to be done so that Israel could see that they, because God was comparing them to their behavior to the behavior of a prostitute. So this was a complete prophetic allegory or alliteration that had to happen. That doesn't mean that God chooses your mate just because he exercised his will to be sovereign in the life of the prophet. So I'm like, no, that does not justify, to me, I'm sorry, but that does not justify the fact that God chooses a mate because he made his prophet marry a prostitute.
But not only my total opinion that I believe is truth and everybody ought to believe it, God ain't got time to be talking about, let me pick old Johnny over here for Heather, and then Heather should get the house over there on the corner, and she should buy the blue Buick, and she should put pink paint on her walls. See, all of that's foolishness to me. God ain't got time for that. And God does not equip us with the knowledge and the resources. He wouldn't say faith without work. Like, there's something for us to do. He has not set out and outlined every little thing. It says he knows the steps. And the steps of a good man are ordered, that doesn't mean that each step you take, God has said that's the step you're supposed to take. No, it's ordered, meaning it's ordained. It's justified. It has validity. But that does not mean that he's going to tell you to go left or go right. If that's the case, we would all be robots. Nobody would need to think because you just sit at your desk and say, God, what is the will for this budget? For the new foundation community center. What's your will, God? Lord, what's your will for the paint on the wall? Lord, what's your will for the toilet paper? Really? No. Pick a toilet paper, and there's like 12 to choose from. And I believe God does our mate and anything else the same way. There are 12 to choose from. Pick the one that best suits you. Not, right. Oh, let me give you this one, and this will work. And the proof Brother is in the pudding.
Brother Jeff?
Yes?
I believe you're trying to tell us we have a caller.
Yes. We have Stephanie from Maryland on the line. Stephanie, how you doing tonight?
Hi, everybody. Hi, Joey.
Hi, beautiful sister of mine.
I didn't know how to talk.
Do I have to say something?
Sure.
I mean, I'm cool if I do. I just thought it was, you know, you all.
Oh, you must have pushed one, sis.
Yeah, by accident, probably.
This is my baby sister, y'all.
Hi,
hey,
everyone.
Sorry,
welcome, I didn't Stephanie. Mean to
interrupt.
Welcome
to join the show.
Oh, I'm enjoying it. It's nice to see friends go back and forth, go at it. Yeah. I did have something to say, though.
Well, go ahead, sis.
I personally just feel like, because I've had one-on-one talks with Joey about this as well, but I kind of feel like we should, I think Deidre said it, it's good for we get to choose the mate, but I do feel that we should take that relationship to God, like in our prayers, like just ask for direction or, you know, like I think that's how I would go about doing that personally.
Absolutely. I agree. I think that we should ask for direction, God, you know. Ensure that I'm dealing with a clean mind and a clean heart, that I'm, you know, being receptive to all of what's coming at me, meaning if there's some red flags that I'm receiving, that if there's some negative and some positive, because none of us are perfect, how do I interpret that? How do I receive that? Help me to deal with that. And then you'll see down the long, you know what I mean, either what it'll do is say to you that this is a red stop sign, or this is red, and this is going to give you the tools and the resources you need to deal with this issue in the long run.
Right.
You know, I think that kind of direction from God and that kind of reliance on Him is necessary and is the right thing to do. But I also think that, you know, God is requiring us to learn of His word, learn of His way, and to get an understanding of ourselves, and we'll know what we can take, what we can deal with, what we have to offer, because sometimes it's not nothing wrong with the person. It may be something wrong with us that says, you know what, I can't meet his or her need the way I need to, and I need to be upfront about that. Or I may have some things that I need to resolve. God, give me the strength to be able to share with them in this way, and maybe there's another level of intimacy that isn't sexual that we need to go into to see if we can meet each other there. I mean, it's just like a person with bipolar. I need to be able to say to this person, I'm on medication. You know, give me the strength to do that. Help me put their heart in the right place to be receptive of that. All of those types of things I think are the right thing to do. But I'm not going to sit there and say that you can pray and say, God, is this the one for me? And then how do you know whether or not you got a yes? And how do you know whether or not you know it was God? How will you ever know? And then when you say it is a yes and it was God, it was this, do we call you a liar when that falls through? Or do we just say, oh, you made a mistake?
So, well, Stephanie, we want to thank you. Did you have any more questions or comments, Stephanie?
Oh, no.
Well, we want to thank you for calling and listening. Continue to listen tonight. And I definitely thank you for your comment or your question. And just to kind of go back to just the overall thing, and Deidre, I definitely would like for you to chime in this next, as we segue into this next section, is that if God does choose for us, how does He do it? And I definitely want to hear from others that are listening that also believe that God chooses our mate for us. Okay, if He chooses the mate for us, I definitely want to kind of dive into that. If He chooses our mate for us, how does He do it? And I think that's one of the things that in that whole, I guess I want to say theology or what have you, if that's even the right term for it. They always say, God, you wait on the Lord. He'll choose your mate. He'll bring your mate to you. Wait on Him. But they never say, well, what does that look like? How will it feel? How will I know? And I would have to say, for me, it was definitely a detriment to my emotions and even my relationship with God, when being told that, you know, I have one side saying, you know, you got to go out and search for your mate, and then I have another side saying you need to wait on God and he will reveal the person he made for you. And, you know, and just being kind of stuck in living, because that's the part that's the most difficult. I definitely agree, or I definitely believe that we have a responsibility to take everything to God in prayer, as Stephanie said, that we have a responsibility to take our relationships, and that's not just our intimate romantic relationships, but our friendships, our relationships with our family. We have a responsibility to take that to God in prayer and to ask him how we are supposed to cultivate them. But no one really explains or kind of puts out there how we, you know, if he does choose, what does that look like? What does it feel like? How will I know, or how can I confirm it? But before our hosts, my wonderful friends comment, Jeff, I believe we have another caller.
Yes, Brother Joe, we have Leticia from Maryland. Hello, Leticia.
Hello, guys. Hey, JoJo.
Hi. Hey.
Hey, guys. So it's a lot that I want to say, and hopefully I don't have no time limit, because this is a really good conversation. It's really true to heart for me, because I know I've had this conversation multiple times with some girlfriends that I call my sisters, and I've had this conversation with my brother JoJo too. And I'm kind of split on this thing, because one thing, when you look at it, marriage is so big. Like, after, you know, your salvation and saying yes to Jesus, like, this is a big decision. Like, this is the person I'm going to be with for the rest of my life. And so a personal experience that I had back in 2008, I got engaged to this guy, and we had a tremendous relationship. It was great. Everything is what I wanted to be. But in my personal prayer time with God, God showed me that this is the one. And I'm just like, well, I love him. He loved me. He's good. And all this, he does this. You know, he's great. You know, I can trust you. I can trust you with my heart. And I'm a very, you know, to myself person when it comes to matters of my heart. And so God has showed me a vision of him dying. He was like, if you love him, leave him, because this is not the purpose I have for you. And I'm just like, I don't understand. Now, hindsight, looking back, I can see in some areas where my relationship with God was being affected. But needlessly to say, God brought that thing true to heart, because one morning, you know, he got in an accident and someone did die in that collision, and God had brought it back to me, and I felt some kind of way about it. So we broke up. You know, I moved here from Texas, and, you know, after we broke up, he started to stalk, and he started coming to my dad's house and then pulled a gun on me, told me he wanted to kill me. And there was things in him that I couldn't see, but through prayer, even though my prayer life wasn't what it should have been, but God began to reveal those things and those ways that the enemy would have wanted to send me out. I'd never seen that jealous aspect of him. I'd never seen, you know, that level of intensity of rage. And it was God, the Spirit of living God, that revealed that to me, because everything was peachy perfect until I broke off the engagement, we broke up the relationship, and I moved. And he became belligerent and crazy and stalkerish. But I do believe, like Deidre said, I do believe, you know, that there is a level of accountability on our behalf that we have when it comes to the mate that we're going to marry. But we need to take that into prayer, because when God deals with things, he doesn't have time for the minute things, but it's about purpose. It's about destiny. It's about God's plan and his purpose being revealed and his glory being revealed in our life. We're all born with an assignment and a purpose. God doesn't create us by, you know, accident. You know, it was a purpose why God allowed our mom and our daddy, egg and sperm, to meet. And it's because so we can further the kingdom, further the gospel. So the person that you with, can they support the things and the vision that God is putting in you? Now, this is the things to look for in a mate. Yeah, and you have to take these things in prayer. And a lot of it is personal conviction. In your prayer time, God will show you things. You know, sometimes God does. My sister Stacy, she married this guy. And in church one day, God spoke to the both of them, and it was kind of cute. It was in 2006. And God told them both at the same time that they were each other's stalkers within their spirit. And then they met at the church, and they confirmed what God had said, and they've been married since 2007. But I know for me, I'm married now, and a lot of these things I kind of take without before God. It's just like, you know, can I meet the need in his life, you know, for the things that I feel that God is calling him to? And we talked about, you know, what is your visions? What are the things you want to do in God? You know, do you have a passion for God? We, you know, his prayer life, because a lot of these things in Scripture, if you want to see what a husband's supposed to look like, you can look in the Bible and it'll tell you. And some of that can be a rubric to measure up. Does this guy fall into these criteria? But, and like Deidre was saying, she was like, I feel like you don't have to take everything to God. And I disagree holistically, is because a lot of that is building our dependency on God and trusting God with everything, even the minor things, you know, under like Jeremiah 28 said, for I know, Lord, it's not, you know, a man's life is not his own, for it's not a man to direct his own step. So I have to trust you even in those small things so that I can grow to be able to trust you with major decisions, like who am I going to sign my life away to for the rest of my life, you know. And so it's about relationship with the Father, and he'll reveal those things, and he'll give you the peace and the unction, you know, to go ahead, because there are some people that we just do not need to be connected to and can be cantankerous to our spirits and our spiritual life. I don't hear nobody.
Well, I agree with all of that.
Huh?
Well, no, it's nothing to disagree with. Nobody is talking against that. And I'm not saying that God will not take an opportunity to reveal anything to anybody, or that something can happen and change. But I also believe very clearly that if we are where we should be with Christ, there are certain things that we'll see that God doesn't have to reveal to us. And if we're not getting it, maybe he needs to go another route. You heard her say, my prayer life was not where it was supposed to be. I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. So maybe God needed to send her a major red flag to say, okay, you're not getting it. Let me hit you upside your head with it. And I'm sure in hindsight, we all can go back and say, I've been in this situation before too, that you know what, this happened, that happened, and then the big boom hit because when this and that happened, I didn't pay attention to that. That didn't take God to say he is or he isn't. You should have been where you should have been. We should be where we're supposed to be, where we can determine that the person is or is not.
But there are some things that people mask, and it takes you going into the spirit and God revealing things to you. Because some people may
absolutely
come with, you know,
absolutely.
And for that reason, it's not the fact that I was 100% in sin. It's just sometimes in life, our prayer life is not as strong as they need to be. And so it's not the fact that I wasn't doing everything I needed to do, but there are some areas in my life that could have been stronger, that could have been better, just like we all have our own areas where personal development is needed. You know, even still, you know, we have not, you know, arrived at this point where we're all together, you know, where there is no need for room for advancement or progression. So that wasn't the issue. God had to deal with me there because, like I said, there was prior to that, there was no red flag. You know, if you weren't
I'm agreeing with what you're saying. I'm not saying that any of us are perfect. What I'm saying is that he may not have been the person, or he was not the person for you, but did it take God to choose him or not to choose him? If it's true that God is going to do the choosing for you and you don't get to choose, then
at the end of the day, God showed me some
partially
things.
Partially there or almost there, why wouldn't we know that that's not who God chose for us? Why wouldn't we know that?
We don't know that because we're so caught up in what it is that we want and how we want it done and what it should look like.
What about the person who's not caught up? What about the women that I know who have been virgins for over 15 and 16 years, teach Sunday school, stay in their Bible, stay in the Word, and are not caught up? What about them?
Yes, he has. But those two.
Where's their mate? Well, what about the woman who God has, they ain't going to have one? What about the women who die without a mate or the men who die without a wife and no children? Like my uncle, is he just so in sin and so caught up that he can't see the mate for him?
Was his desire ever to be married?
Yes, and to have kids, but it has not happened.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, everybody does have a choice that they have to make. I believe that there are certain people and certain individuals, like, I don't believe that this is one particular person, the only person for you on the planet Earth, and if they die, it's over. I don't believe that. I believe that God
That's the point.
Wanted to hear you say, that me and you, we
good.
That's
all I want people
Everything
to
else
understand.
You said, I'm with you on that, too. But when you said that, we good. That's the only point I'm trying to make. I'm not saying that God can't say no to somebody and yes to somebody, or you're going in the wrong direction, that God won't steer you. Because at the end of the day, what if he had not done everything that he did and everything was still perfect and you broke it off with him? That doesn't make him bad. That means he's not for you. And that's the bigger picture. Everything isn't for everybody. This person can be spiritual, a deacon, on the right path, leading the church the way they're supposed to, living an upright life, bills and stuff paid. That still don't make them for you.
Precisely.
So what I'm saying is exactly what you said, that there is no one person that God has plucked out of the billions of people on earth and said, that's Sean's mate, that's Joey's mate.
No, but God can bless the thing. And that's the thing. Like, even from going in my marriage, I'm like, God, do you bless this? Not that, is this a particular person? Is this the only person you have? But do you bless this? You know,
absolutely.
Am I the one to help him fulfill his goals, for him to fulfill his dreams, to help him in ministry?
Absolutely.
Can we grow together? We mature together, you know, and that was my deciding factors for this. Now, it wasn't that it came through this big dream or, you know, the voice from God spoke to me, but I'm saying for some people it has, that I know it has happened that way. But for me and for my husband, it did not happen that way.
No, I agree. I have a very dear friend, used to date my brother for many years. I just knew they were going to get married, the perfect couple. Still kind of wish they were together. They dissolved their relationship, went on in life. She moved to North Carolina. She walked into a church one Sunday morning, and literally like fire, she saw this man, and she was like, she just knew. He saw her and went to the pastor and told the pastor that morning, it was her first time at that church, that was his wife. 2 years later, they got married. Her son is grown. Travis got to be about 23, 24. They had a baby about 3 years ago and been married ever since, years going on in.
Yeah.
So I'm never going to say that it doesn't happen, but will I say that Charles is the only man on earth for her? No. She has a son by one man, spent several years with my brother. I mean, that she could have married any of them. And I'm sure, just like you said, God could have blessed that, honored their choice, their decision, and helped them to make it through. But that's where it was. And so I think that's where we need to be, and not thinking that there's one single person, and if something should happen to them. I mean, I think about a young lady I know, Hope, got married, got pregnant, like within 1 year. They got in a major car accident coming back from Richmond. Her husband dies. She survives, pregnant with a baby. She's since remarried, raised a beautiful child, happy, got a great husband. God picked two people for her? No. Go ahead, Joey. You can have your show back.
Thank you, Lakeisha, for calling in and commenting. That we definitely appreciate it here on Amongst Friends. And everybody that's been calling in been kind of getting Deidre and Heather confused. I don't know if Deidre and Heather has noticed that, but everybody's been getting y'all confused. Deidre is on the side of the fence where she believes God chooses a mate. Heather is on the other side of the fence where she doesn't – I'm not going to say she doesn't believe God doesn't have anything to do with you, your choosing of your mate, but she just doesn't believe that it's directly correlated in him saying this person is for you.
No, I believe that God does not have time to be choosing your mate when he got other things to be doing.
Okay.
Like choosing my mate. Like, no.
Just to let y'all know, so – it wasn't Deidre. Deidre is on the side of God chooses your mate. Right, Deidre? Is she still there? Well, when she gets back, she'll... Oh, okay, boom, there she go. Okay, so we talked about that. Man, we are really going tonight. Listen, we still want more callers. 760-683-2662. If you're you're in the chat room, give your comments. You can join us or like us on Facebook at Amongst Friends. But just kind of going to that last point that kind of made both Heather and I jump out of our seats is that the main point of all of this is that I definitely don't believe that God just makes one person for us, and if we don't find that person or that person dies, that it's over for us, that we can't find happiness. I think that, to me, in addition to just this whole you gotta wait on God to kind of choose your mate for you kind of thing, I think that just is, I really just think that's detrimental, especially when you don't give me clear, concise direction as spiritual leaders or what have you. Because, again, yes, for some people, there is an awesome revelation. God comes down and reveals things to you, like he did for Moses, like he did for the other people in the Bible. And then God operates in that still small voice, or he might operate through a word or something to give you confirmation that he is pleased with this. But it's for different people. And I think when everybody just kind of goes off that whole cookie cutter notion that he will choose or he has someone made for you, I think that's just really breaking a whole bunch of people's hearts. And they become devastated because they're asking God for the wrong things. And I think that's the part where I think not just, and I'm not going to just say it's the church. I'm not going to just say, I think it's all about responsibility. When we're talking to our friends, when we're talking to people in general or what have you, in concerns of relationships and finding a mate and getting married or, you know, being together and having children, I think that there has to be something more concrete and something, honestly, that you can hold on to. And I think one of the things is that stop telling people to wait on God and tell them to talk to him, spend time with him, have a relationship with him, and he will direct you on where to go or how to choose or what have you. And so I guess moving on to this next point is, and I definitely would like all of our people, you know, all of my co-hosts to chime in on this, is for the people that have actually said, and I've seen this, and it is probably one of the most gut-wrenching and heartbreaking things to ever see, is for someone who said, you know what, I believe God chose this person for me. He confirmed it. He made it known. He put it out there. It struck me with lightning, and this is the person that was made for me, and they get married, and they have a couple easy years, and then they go through a rough divorce. What are your thoughts on that? As far as if I said God chose this person for me, why did my marriage fail?
Well, sometimes, and I'll just use my marriage as for an example, because we went through marital counseling and got the stamp of approval, but I knew what to say. So the easy answer, and it may hurt a lot of people's feelings or what have you, but people lie. Sometimes God ain't told you that was your mate. It was what your flesh wanted. It was what you wanted. Mm. It was a choice you made. And so now, when you done went through a bad divorce, these are the consequences that you have to go through because you made a choice. Just like I made a choice. I made a choice to get married, even though when we were standing up in front of the pastor in the church and he was saying, do you take this man as your husband, blah, blah, blah. And in my head, I'm like, oh, Lord, the love will come. I want to be with him eventually. I should have stopped right then and said, I can't do this. But I didn't, because I had my own agenda. I wanted to be married at 20. I wanted to have my first baby at 21, 22. I wanted to have my second child at 24. All of these things. But while I'm standing at the altar, I'm saying, "Oh, the love will come. He'll be the one. It'll work out." And so for the 5 years that I was married, I was trying to stay in it because I've now committed myself to this, and I want to do right, but I was dying. I was miserable. And I was on my face and praying and saying, "Oh, Lord, let me make this work because I want to stay. Lord, you got to bless this." But I'm steady. I can't do it. I can't do it. And so we got a divorce. Luckily, we didn't have any kids because I probably would have stayed. But it was a peaceful divorce. He went on about his way. I went on about my way. And now he's married again. And he's happy. And she's happy. And I'm happy for the both of them.
Absolutely, but did you hear anything that God did in that in what you said?
No.
You
yeah,
lied.
Said,
you stood up there and said, "Love will come." Huh?
I lied. God wasn't in the heavens. I'm not gonna make a front with anybody. I don't know what point you're trying to pull out, but I clearly said I lied. I used my
exactly.
own example. My own experience.
I made a choice from the very beginning.
God gives you the choice. He does not force you. You make a choice. However, I could have said, "Okay, God, I'm talking to you. I need you to confirm this for me. I really need you to tell me if he is the one, if I should go forward." But I wasn't hearing that because I had my own agenda.
Made a choice.
So what I am saying is that God gives us free will in every decision that we make. We can make the
Absolutely.
Decision to do it his way, or we can make the decision to do it our way, period.
You did it his way. You did it his way. Yes, you did. You chose. That is his way.
But I want
No, God's way is that we choose. God's way is that we choose.
I disagree with that.
Right or wrong. Now, you can choose the jaywalk or you can choose to go down to the crosswalk. Choose. And one is going to be beneficial for you and one is not. That's God's way. See, God's way isn't cross at the crosswalk and get the benefit of the crosswalk. No, it's you have these two ways to go. One is going to benefit you and get you where you need to be the right way in the right time, and the other is not. That's God's way. And you chose, and you did what you did. And so for you to be, when you chose to get married, and you chose the lie, and you said the love will come, you're the one who should have stayed there and waited for the love to get there, however long it took to get there. You should have waited for it to get there. Because at 30-something years old, we still waiting on Jesus to come back. And ain't none of us saying, "Well, I'm just going to go ahead and kill myself because he ain't got here yet." No, stay there till the love get there. That's God's way. If we want to be real about it, that's God's way. If you said it, speak it. The love is going to come. You spoke it out of your mouth that it was going to come. You should have stayed there and waited for it. You still have to deal with the consequences of what is. If you make that choice, deal with the consequences of it. Pray, "Lord, bless it." Stay on your face as long as you have to, because God don't move in our time. He moves in his time. See, my thing is, if he chose and you doing it your way, now start doing it his way, do the man get there any faster? Do it change the outcome? No. It doesn't. Because you have multiple things before you that you can choose from, and they can be good or bad, however you deal in it. And God can bless whatever it is. God can take a crackhead. and clean them up and straighten them up and get them on the right road and he be the husband that you need him to be, or a prostitute and she be the wife that somebody need her to be.
All I know is that I'm so happy that I met my wife at a pool hall and she lost the game, and we married now forever because she lost the pool game. I'm so happy.
I see. And you didn't need God to say nothing to you to do that, did you?
No. I just need to be crucial with that stick. You know what I'm saying? Just be crucial with that stick.
But honestly, I'm not going to say that life is better or different, but what about the people who don't believe in God and have good, solid marriages?
Right.
Like, God shines on the just and the unjust. You know what I mean? It's not a formula. Beyond what he's already called us to do, it works for everything, to trust, to obey, to, like you said, Joey, to have a relationship, and he will lead and guide you. That doesn't mean that he's taking all of your right, your will. I mean, what do you need a brain to think for? If you can't pick out a human being and say, you know what, no matter what, I'm going to stick it through. I mean, I'm sure, Joey, you just got married.
Mm-hmm.
You're not perfect, she's not perfect, but you guys are looking at each other and saying, you know what, I can take that, I can deal with that, I can stick by you while you grow through that change, while you grow out of that. You know what I mean? Those are the things that you accept when you commit to marry somebody. It's like people who have arranged marriages. Their parents put them together. They look at, are they compatible? Are they on the same path? You know, what's the personality type? You know, whatever it is, they come from a good family. He going to be able to take care of my daughter. She going to be able to cook and take care of my son. Put them together, and they make a commitment. That doesn't mean either of them are perfect or there's some secret formula behind them or they were created for each other and destined to be.
And we all feel
good when we say stuff like that and, oh, he was my destiny or he completes me. But really, come on. You're talking about the feeling you have because of that person, not something that they just then revived you and renewed you and made you alive. Next, we're going to have Jesus picking paint collars.
Heather.
It's the truth. You almost lose me at the point. And you know what, Joey? I think for me, the drasticness of what I feel is because people have worn out so much, God said. Or
yeah.
God
no,
led
I
me.
Agree.
You know,
I
like God leads
agree.
You to a church and in 2 months you're leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Why not you joined there? It's not your cup of tea as you got more involved. It's not, you know, what you want, or you've grown out of it. You know, they had an evangelistic ministry that got you off the street. Now that you've grown in Christ, you need more of a different kind of a word. You know what I mean? Like, let's just be honest.
I agree. And I think, and honestly, I mean, this can't kind of getting off the subject, but I think that God, that people use God led me or God said this is not the place for me anymore because they're disillusioned or they're unhappy within their own selves, that something in the something happened within church or even staying on topic within their relationship that didn't line up to the idealism that they had made up in their head. And now it's, oh, God wants me to get a divorce. God wants me to leave this person. This person wasn't made for me. This person isn't for me. This church isn't for me anymore. And they're blaming God. And he's sitting up there and saying, but I'm about reconciliation. I'm about love. I'm about, you know, I'm about you making things right, doing right by people, about, you know, whatever, whatever. And I just think, like you said, I think people just blame God for so much when it's really us. And my thing is that I went through a lot of heartache and mental anguish because, and it wasn't because I just wanted my own way. I seriously went to spiritual people or people I believe were spiritual to guide and direct me in how to navigate singleness and how to find my way to looking for a wife or what have you. And I just got, honestly, and I'm not blaming people because I made the choice to follow this direction rather than going to God myself. So it's on me. But I was put on La La Land and Cloud Nine about life, love, and marriage and relationships. And the only real thing that I ever got was the heartache for me making these choices based on I'm going to listen for God or I'm going to wait until he sends me the person made for me. But honestly, Heather, Deidre, and Jeff, the second, and I'm not saying that I gave up on God. I did not do that. I still prayed. I still asked for his guidance. I still asked for his blessing. But God, honest truth, the second that I gave up on this illusion, this illusion mm-hmm. that everything is going to be perfect, everything is going to be in line, God is going to sit that person right in front of me, and I don't have to do diddly squat. When I gave up that, when I gave up that fairy tale vision of what God was, that's when the person that was for me came. And guess what I had to do? I still had to pray. I still had to ask for God's guidance, but I had to change. I had to do some work. I had to make some tough decisions in my own personal life and my own personal walk with God. And it wasn't that it was just one person. It wasn't just one person that was just set out in front of me. It didn't work that way. And maybe that's not for everybody, but I think what is for everybody is that we have to stop approaching stuff like it's a fairy tale, like it's just like God is a magic genie.
Yeah,
I just really don't think it works that way.
You're right, and Joey, I love that you say that once you got rid of the illusion, God didn't just present one person. Like, you saw opportunity.
Yeah.
More than one.
No, that's real talk.
Yeah. That opportunity was there in more than one place. That you could then, but you know why? It wasn't like God sent 12 people your direction or like 12 people were there. It was you could see clearer that here is an opportunity here. It's just like me. I went out looking for a job, couldn't find a job. Worried about it. The exact same thing. The moment I began to relax and lay back. And when I say lay back, I mean like, you know, you're sitting up, but then you kind of like let yourself fall, like if you're leaning on a fence, like you kind of stand up where you hold yourself, but then there's a certain moment where you relax and you're really relying on the fence, you're like laying back on it. When I did that, I get a job offer, get another job offer, get another. So then it's like they're all job offers, they're all paying good money, they all got benefits. Like, which one do you take? You choose. I presented this before you. Line it up. Line your options up. What aligns best with you? What do you think you can align best with? What do you think you can take and put up with? What do you don't think you can take and put up with? What is the environment? What is the culture of the organization? Those are the things you begin to look at, and I think relationship is the exact same way. That more than one person was an opportunity for you, more than one thing was presented to you, you made a choice. And I'm sure there are things about your wife, you and Jeff, that y'all don't like. But like in a perfect world, she wouldn't be like that or she wouldn't have that. And I'm sure there's certain things about you all that your wives can say, no, if God was making him just for me, he really wouldn't do that because it grinds me to no end.
We have a comment that was pasted on our Facebook wall from Stephanie, not the Stephanie Williams that called, but another Stephanie Williams who is a part of our Facebook page. She says, too many people are choosing a wedding but not understanding a marriage. God will give you the knowledge to choose, but it is up to you to make the choice to accept what God has presented to you. But for those who choose not to believe that God can choose or present your mate to you, can you say that what you are doing is bringing your mate to you any faster? No. God is a free will God, but before you knew you, he knew you, and your mate was created before you ever knew you desired one. It is this person's compliments who compliments you as a whole person. The key is knowing who you are. Laying up to get a husband or wife won't deem them the right person either. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I don't agree.
That doesn't surprise me.
If I was really choosing mates for people, are we safely saying then that this many people, this many women, I'm going to speak for women because I'm a woman, are just doing their own thing?
Yes.
And are just out of the wheel, and that's why they haven't bumped into their mate?
Yes.
Okay.
I love you, Deidre.
If that is the case, and you as a woman know that all you have to do is get in the wheel and do the right thing, and then you can have your mate, why wouldn't you do that?
Because my flesh wants other things.
Okay. Well, hey, you did what you had to do to get a job. You do what you have to do to get a house. You do what you have to do to get a car. You do what you have to do to get a man then, if you really want one.
Exactly.
Okay.
You'll do what you said the key word. You'll do what you want to do to get what you want.
No,
you
that's not what
do.
I said.
That ain't what I said.
You
just said.
I said you'll do what you have to do, not what you want to do. Because you already doing what you want to do. That's why you ain't got one. I said you'll do what you have to do.
I'm doing what I want to do.
You're not doing it, then clearly you don't want it.
I want it. I just want it when I want it.
Okay, you don't want it right now?
I want it when I want it. I can easily say, go and call old boy that just text me.
But
to
that's
come over
different.
To the
that's
over there.
That's
we can
different.
Hook it up.
That's
I
different
could easily
from a booty call is different from choosing your mate, though.
That's been on the table for years.
No, that's so different. A booty call is different from choosing your mate. And do you want it right now?
Okay,
that's
what I'm saying. There is someone who has offered to marry me several times over, and the answer is still no.
Right,
and
that's because you choose to say no.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So if I want it,
that doesn't mean that God chose no for you.
He did.
Did God choose him for you?
He sure did.
No, did God choose no?
Yeah,
no, I'm saying did he choose
no
for you? You're saying no.
And that's my point.
That's my point. You chose to say no, just like you're going to choose to say yes. Because what happens, my question is, Deidre, what happens when you say no to the person God chose for you?
Right.
Well, Joey,
a better question. What happens when the person God chose for you is you not the person that God chose for them? Mm. Because I've had several women. My brothers who are preachers, oh, no, God told me, that's my husband. The Lord showed me in a vision, Pastor, I need to have a conference with you. The Lord showed me that you was my mate. Why the Lord ain't show him?
She was lying?
No, what I'm saying to you is, if all you got to do is get in the Lord's will and in his way, and you'll see who God has chose for you, then more people will get in his will and their way because they desperate for a man.
It's easy to get in his will and seek him. It is very easy to have a personal relationship with him because he is readily available to us. The problem is that people don't want to.
Don't want to what?
It's easy. He's there. The Bible is there where we can get instruction. We can pray.
Yes.
We can have spend time
yes.
with the Lord. But people don't want to do it because it doesn't fit into their schedule. When
and
you,
you
wake up
so
in the morning,
right,
most people are rolling over and clicking on Facebook. Most people are jumping up or texting such and such so they can do this. They don't have any time to establish a relationship with Christ so that he can give them some direction, so that they can, when they're moving outside of what they need to be doing, they can't even hear God when he's trying to give them some type of directions because they're doing their own thing. We are a society that wants it when we want it, how we want it. We want it to be easy. As Joy was saying, you know, I want clear-cut directions on how I can do this. And it's clear.
Right.
Establish a relationship with God. Spend some time with him. Spend some time in the Word. Spend some time in prayer. Spend some time on your face. Spend some time fasting and praying. How about that? But when
hey,
you start asking people to do that, you know what they do? Oh, yeah, I'm going to do that. Uh-huh, I sure am. And then they go and they say, yeah, I did that. I fasted and I prayed and I got in the Word and I studied. And you say, okay, what did he say? What are you doing?
Mm.
Why does your actions not line up with what you said you've been doing for the past 5 years? Because you ain't did it.
That's not true.
Because ain't nobody in your bedroom or ain't nobody in your house looking at you staying in the Word or trying to establish a relationship. All people are doing are going on what people are telling them because can't nobody verify. But really, you can. Let's look at your life. Let's look at the fruit. How about that? Why are we so afraid of when people come up and start saying X, Y, and Z and their life doesn't line up with what they're saying? We don't call them a bald-faced liar. So you're lying. We're so afraid that we're going to be judged, that we're judging people. We're so afraid that someone is going to say, why would you say that to me? Why don't you believe me? Because you're a liar. How about that?
What is your husband picking your mate?
The one thing that kills me about the whole thing about, you know, God choosing a mate or, you know, people saying I'm waiting on the Lord for, you know, to send me my man or to send me my woman, is that whether God sent that person to you or not, you still have, without a doubt, the most basic, regular relationship like every other person on this planet. That relationship,
you can destroy it or build it.
That relationship is just like the one you had when you wasn't talking about God is going to send me somebody or I'm praying on a mate. So I don't understand how, where's the real, if God is sending it, then hopefully it should be a better situation for you. But that's not the case. Nobody seems to be on a higher plane when they, quote, unquote, find this person that God sent them. And to me, that right there is proof in the pudding that basically you just waited by the court. You just waited courtside long enough that somebody came to scoop you up, and you was like, "Okay, I'm gonna lean with this, and hopefully nothing bad happened." But you still go through the same stuff that everybody else go through. Now, granted, you probably done waited so long that you know you ain't really got too much to be, you ain't got too much more crazy up in you. You know what I'm saying?
Joe, Jeff, I get exactly what you're saying, but Joey,
yeah.
Your friend, the young lady that called in, now this is not what
yeah.
she said. I'm going to take her scenario, and I'm just going to give you another perspective of it. Let's just suppose that when God was showing her this dream about this accident, that God was trying to prepare her to be in prayer, to be able to support this gentleman through this strenuous time, and prepare them to get prayed up to be where they needed to be for this big event that was going to happen that was going to drastically change their lives. She said she saw no negative signs, no nothing in him, and he was in this accident, and someone ended up dying from the accident, and then he pulled a gun and he was stalking. Just suppose that accident played on his mind and he was living with some kind of guilt and feeling like he lost somebody that died, now I lost my girl, and did it, and his mind snapped. What if God wasn't telling her to leave him at all and just say, trying to prepare her, giving her a vision of what was to come so that she was prepared and equipped to deal with it? It's the same events, the same things. Just what if? And basically what Jeff is saying is that if you wait on the person that you're saying that God chose for you, it doesn't give you a head start. It doesn't give you a different playing field. It's no guarantee that somebody's not going to cheat. It's no guarantee that somebody's not going to lie. It's no guarantee that you're not going to like that person. You ain't going to want to be with them. Y'all not going to get a divorce. There's no guarantee there. So to say God chose and this one person is there and this is what God is directing me to do, where is the security in it? It doesn't come with any security. It doesn't come with any guarantees. The only guarantee is still God. You can change. They can change. They can choose, you know what, I don't want to be here no more. You can choose, I don't want to be here no more. Then what do we do?
Like I said, I think that's where the cop out part comes, because it basically, you know, you taking yourself out of the picture, sitting around, letting, you know, just letting time go by, because, you know, nobody's pulling your date card. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's asking for your phone number. So you run around telling everybody, you know, I'm waiting on the Lord to send me somebody. 9 times out of 10, you're not telling that to the dude. You're saying that to some girlfriends. You're saying that to some real close friends that are dudes that you know and trust. Or you're saying that to, you know, it's part of your testimony. You know what I'm saying? But when you say that, like I said, you're saying that in the presence of like-minded people who are probably also doing the same thing. So it's almost the point of, you know, you put enough time and space in between all the craziness and all the bad stuff that you probably did when you was younger, in and out of relationships or what have you, to try and give yourself a fresh start.
No, we just like giving God something else to do.
That too.
I just honestly believe that regardless of if how you believe or what you believe, I think that we still have work to do, and I think that's in everything. Yes, we need to trust in God. We need to, you know, wait on Him. We need to pray and communicate. That never changes, regardless of whether you're looking for a mate or a house or a car or, you know, whatever. If you're in God and you're in Christ, then yes, you're supposed to pray and seek and His guidance and His permission and, you know, things like that. But that does not mean you don't have to work, that you don't have to put the faith in, that you don't have to take chances. And I think that's where my biggest frustration. If you want to believe that, because who am I to tell anyone that they can't believe that God will choose their mate for them? If that's the relationship you want to have with God, I can't tell you that that's not real for you. I can't tell you that that's not true for you. But here's what I will say. Don't just think that you can wait on God and pray, and you don't have to take no risk. You don't have to put yourself out there, not in a sexual manner, but taking a chance. You got to take a chance. The person, you don't speak to the person, how are you going to even know that they made for you? You don't say, you know what, God, I'm going to trust you and believe that you made this person for me. So, you know, I'm going to go out on a few dates with them. You know, and whatever. There has to be still some level of faith and trust in our actions, not just our spiritual actions, but even our physical ones. Even the desire to, you know, the desire to live holy and not sleep with a person. You know, that's not just a spiritual decision, but that's a physical decision as well. And someone on the Facebook, because I don't know what is going on with our chat, but someone on the Facebook said, Akira said, marriage takes work just like everything else in our lives. Even building a relationship with God takes work. God knows us before we know ourselves. God knows who we will choose to marry, and it is up to us to make it work and keep God first so he can manifest our marriage. Marriage fails when the focus is not on him. So the choice is ours, not God's. God will lead us to the right mate, and we have to decide to take the opportunity and keep him first. So,
and Garvey, you saw him in the nightclub? Huh?
What was the question?
Well, Jeff met his wife at the pool hall. So,
okay.
This is why I really honestly think that people just kind of, okay, I definitely don't believe that God will be sending us to whorehouses and sex clubs to find our mate, unless you are the new age prophet that he needs to use to make that, you know, to make that statement, to make that bold statement. Yeah, I'm just saying, just like I'm not saying that there aren't people who are gifted with the same thing that God made for Paul when he decided that I'm not going to get married. I want to be completely and utterly focused on spreading the gospel. I dare not say that there aren't people who are gifted for that. Here's what I am saying, is that if God chooses that for you, if he chooses that for you, guess what? He's going to make it clear to you. You're not going to have to guess. You're not going to have to, if your ministry is to remain unmarried. He's going to equip you, exactly. But for the people that want to get married, there's just some work that you're going to have to do. And if you're sitting around waiting for God to choose, then, baby, you're just going to be waiting around for the rest of your life. That's just my opinion, that I think there's a lot more than just, I'm going to wait until God makes my person or sends me the person that they've made.
But how
I think
you don't know
that
God
more.
Hasn't chose the person that you keep saying no to?
Well, that's what I asked earlier.
That's the same question I asked earlier.
I got a text message to wrap this baby up. So I want to let's wrap this up. Anybody got some quick last-minute thoughts on this conversation for tonight as we come to a close? quick wrap up.
No, I'm good. You wrap it.
Anyone else?
All I'm going to say is we've been having this discussion for almost 2 years now, and I'm still not on the side of Joey and all y'all. So, well, that just means we still have more talking to do.
We
and
do.
And
And you know what, Deidre? I'm just quickly, I'm going to say, I don't think this is a, when we first had the discussion, I was in complete disagreement with God make someone for you. When we the very first time you and I even met and had this conversation, I had a different, you know, I was a little more adamant about my beliefs. Now I think I have a balance. So I don't fully disagree with you, but I also don't fully agree with your view of it, of how God does it, if that makes sense. At first it was complete no for me, but now I believe I have a balanced view. Not saying your view is not balanced. I'm just saying that Joey has a balanced
view
of how this works. Deidre.
I was talking to Heather.
Oh, my bad.
She was talking
my
to
bad.
Me.
Oh, my bad. Okay, so join us next week for the conversation for the Grown and Sexy. We hope that you would encourage other people to listen. We will be here same bat time, same bat channel. That belongs to Batman and all its affiliates. That does not belong to Amongst Friends, nor the opinions of the Amongst Friends viewers. But join us next week for Amongst Friends at 760-683-2662. Feel free to comment on any of our Facebook pages, like us on Facebook, or join us on blogtalkradio.com/amongstfriends. Good night, people.
Good night. Heather's still wrong.